Cause I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the CBC Unspoken Podcast. This is Tyler. In case you haven't ever listened before, I kind of spearhead this podcast. Though we usually have more people on, this series is primarily just going to be me. So just keep that in mind when listening to these, and if you don't want to listen to me, that's fine. I hope you guys have enjoyed hearing our previous podcasts, and I hope you guys continue listening. This podcast right here is going to be the start of an interesting series, I believe. It's going to be very Easter-centered, especially with, we just had Palm Sunday and, the Passover. We just had the Passover, and then Resurrection Sunday, Good Friday, all those are coming up soon. So I'm going to have a short series on Easter. It's going to be a study type series. A lot of the stuff I'm talking about, you may know about, but I'm just going to try to dig deeper in and, primarily focusing on the sacrifice of Jesus. So today what we're going to talk about is the need for a sacrifice. Throughout the history of mankind, man has sinned against God, from Adam and Eve to all of us today. Every person has sinned against God. And with that sin came destruction, death, and damnation. We're going to talk a little bit about how animal sacrifice has blessed people in the Old Testament and has appeased the Father in the Old Testament, and how it continues into the New Testament. We'll speak more about the New Testament and Jesus in the next episode, but this one's primarily focused on Old Testament animal sacrifice and why it was needed. So starting with Adam and Eve in Genesis 3, at the very beginning of human existence, once they were enticed of the serpent, and ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they became aware that they were naked, if you remember. And this is, like I said, Genesis 3. And they made clothing with figs because they knew they were naked. They were trying to hide their nakedness from God. Because they were disobedient to God, they were forced into a life of painful labor, hard work, and acknowledgement of sin. These repercussions are now passed down to all people. Romans 5, verse 19 says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners." This is talking about Adam. And then later in that verse it says, "So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." That's talking about Jesus Christ. We can see how their sin was passed down to all of us, but you can also see God's response. So you see that God shows them the repercussions of their sin, but he doesn't leave them destitute. Because of the recognition of the nakedness, they covered up with fig leaves, but God understood that fig leaves were not nearly sufficient for enduring the new issues their sin had caused. Therefore, he provided coats of skin from animals. God provided the skins of animals, obviously, by killing the animals. So this is really the first example of animals having to die to cover the sin of man. So the sin, their sin had resulted in the need of an animal sacrifice in order for survival. Though it's not known if they made sacrifices on an altar back then, their sin required the shedding of blood for provision from God. And this gives undertones of future sacrifice requirements in the Old Testament. If we skip ahead in the Old Testament to Cain and Abel, not very far ahead, but if we skip ahead to Genesis chapter 4, Cain offered fruit of the ground to God, whereas Abel offered the firstling of his flock with fat. God had respect for Abel's offering, but not for Cain's offering. It doesn't explicitly state in the Bible why Abel's offering was more respected, but it's implied that Abel's offering was the more valuable part of his production. It's implied that Cain's offering was either not the best of his production, or that Cain didn't offer as much as he could have or should have. Either way, it's clear to say that the fatted sheep was more sufficient of an offering than the fruit Cain offered. So we can see how the animal sacrifice was a lot more valuable of an offering, and not to include, you know, the intent of which Cain and Abel gave. There's a deeper aspect to that, but that's just kind of a surface of the animal sacrifice was a lot more valuable than the fruit sacrifice. And it's all about what you're able to give. If we fast forward again to Noah in Genesis chapter 8. So after the flood, I'm sure everybody's heard of Noah. So after the flood in Genesis 8, Noah builds an altar and sacrifices one of every clean beast and one of every clean fowl and offers them in a burnt offering to God. Out of gratitude and out of praise to God for him delivering them out of the flood, Noah provides this huge offering. And to think about how many animals were on the ark, this had to be a huge ceremony to kill all these. And keep in mind, these were the clean animals, the clean beasts and the clean fowls, one of each of those. Those animals were the more valuable animals for the ark because that was their sustenance. They could only eat the clean beasts and the clean fowls. So Noah offered one of their food, pretty much. One of each of those clean beasts and clean fowls. So this was a valuable aspect of what he had on the ark with him. Like I said, those were the only animals that were permissible for consumption among the Israelites. So these are the most valuable animals that Noah had. And it says that when he sacrificed these as a burnt offering, that the Lord smelled the sweet savor. And he says in his heart, once he smells this, he says in his heart that he will no longer curse the ground that man works on, and he won't kill every man on earth anymore. If you continue reading that into Genesis 9, but Noah's obedience and his animal sacrifice had caused the Lord to bless all of mankind, to bless Noah, but also mankind in the future. He promises not to kill every man on earth anymore. We can fast forward over to Genesis 22. I'm sure we've all heard the story of Abraham. God tested Abraham and his obedience to him by commanding him to offer Isaac, his only begotten son, as a burnt sacrifice. Abraham obeys the Lord and prepares to sacrifice his only son, but God provides a ram in the thicket to sacrifice in place of Isaac. So because of Abraham's obedience, God blesses his bloodline. We can take that as an example from the Old Testament of the shedding of blood as a blessing for mankind. If we continue on into Exodus, and this is where a lot of the need for sacrifice comes from, and we can see how the sacrifice that's talked about in these scriptures will lead to the New Testament and Jesus being the sacrifice. But let's get into Exodus and Moses. So God tells Moses that he will deliver the Israelites out of the hands of the Egyptians. And he tells Moses that the Pharaoh will not allow it. God then shows his power to the Egyptians with the 10 plagues, the last of which would be the death of the firstborn of all those in Egypt. So God commands Moses and informs Moses that to be spared from the death of this firstborn son that he's going to allow over Egypt, in order to prevent that among the Israelites, each household should sacrifice a lamb without blemish. And the blood of the lamb should be placed on both sides, or both posts of the door, and on the upper post of the door. And when the Lord releases his judgment on the land of Egypt, that the destroyer will pass over those houses where the blood is. And so the act of the destroyer passing over those houses, that's what has become the Passover. So I'm not sure if you've ever heard of what the Passover is. I'm sure Pastor Mike has preached about it several times. I've heard other people talk about it in the church before. So I'm sure everybody's probably heard of it. But that's what the Passover comes from, is the destroyer passing over those houses of Israel in Exodus chapter 12. But because of this event and the death of so many Egyptians and their firstborn, Pharaoh ordered their release. It even tells us in Exodus that there was a great cry throughout Egypt because there wasn't a house that was spared from this death. So because of this, Pharaoh is like, okay, you guys can leave. After holding them prisoner, after holding them captive for so many years, he finally just says, okay, get out of here. You've caused too much issues. So they were now free to exit to the wilderness. So the shedding of blood of the spotless lambs led to their deliverance from the hand of the Egyptians. So we'll look at this more in the next episode as well, when we talk about Jesus more. But the Passover is symbolic, and it's kind of a foreshadowing of Jesus' sacrifice and the provided deliverance for us, which we'll discuss again, like I said, in the next episode. That's one thing I want to talk about with the Passover, and like I said, we'll get into that more in the next episode, but I just want to introduce you to these sacrifices in the Old Testament. Later in Exodus, chapter 24 to be exact, Moses is given direction by God to sprinkle the people of Israel with blood of sacrifices to represent the covenant he would have with the Israelites. Moses reads the book of the covenant to the Israelites, then sprinkles blood on them, on the actual people, as well as the altar, like they do in Leviticus, and what we're told in Leviticus, which is what I'm going to talk about in a second. But he sprinkles the blood on the people to represent the covenant that God has with the Israelites. This also parallels with the future covering of blood in the new covenant with Christians from Jesus' blood and the sacrifice he made. So the sacrifice, the blood covers the people in each covenant. And I'll talk about that again more in the next episode as well. So if we continue on to Leviticus, and Leviticus is a book full of laws and stuff that was commanded by God through Moses to the Israelites of different rules and ceremonies and rituals that they are to partake in or not to partake in. So if you haven't read Leviticus, it's a tough read. I'm not going to lie, it's a tough read. But we'll talk about some of that, and specifically the animal sacrifice that was talked about in Levitical law. So Moses goes on after all of these, these events and stuff. Moses goes on and eventually establishes the Levitical law. What's talked about in here is a myriad of topics, but one of the main topics is the necessity of animal sacrifices, explicitly within the temple. And without getting into too much detail, because this could be talked about for a really long time, a lot more than what I'm going to cover in this podcast, because I'm just trying to get your feet wet into studying this, and I'm trying not to get too out into the weeds. But without getting into too many details, the Israelites were to present a sacrifice for the priests in the temple according to their possessions or status in Jewish society and their sins. There were different types of sacrifices or offerings. You had burnt offerings, grain offerings, peace offerings, sin and trespass offerings, or guilt offerings, as they're sometimes called. And each offering required different types of sacrifices, but the sin offerings typically required an animal to be sacrificed for the remission of their sins or for redemption of their sins. In Leviticus chapters 4 through 7, it discusses the numerous rituals and actions required for the atonement of sins. Like I mentioned earlier, this could be a much longer discussion, but I encourage you to read these verses for yourself, because it's a lot of material, and I can't fit it all into this podcast. But it's just, I'm trying to help you locate where this stuff is so that you can study it out, or just, you can take my word for it. I encourage you not to do that, but study this out and kind of see for yourself how animal sacrifice was looked at in the Old Testament. So I really want you to understand, the rituals and the need for the sacrifice with the Israelites, especially when it comes to the atonement of sins. I do want to summarize a few things within these chapters, though, to give some context to the rituals and actions involved with the sacrifices. So the first thing I wanted to mention about these verses, these four chapters, is the sacrifice of your sins depended on your status. So we can look in Leviticus 4 more specifically. If you were a priest, or if the entire church unintentionally sinned against God, and they came to acknowledgement of their guilt, you were required to provide a bull without blemish to be sacrificed. If you were a leader of the Israelites, and you unintentionally sinned, you were required to provide a male goat without blemish. If you were a common person and didn't have a leadership standing or weren't involved as a priest, and you unintentionally sinned, you were required to provide a female goat or a lamb without blemish. So we can see how the priest required a much bigger sacrifice to atone from their sins. And then the leader had a lesser, and then the common person had a lesser need of a sacrifice. But all were sufficient for the status of the person if they were provided as an animal sacrifice to the temple. The second point I want to talk about is the sacrifice of your sins depended on your possessions as well. So in Leviticus chapter 5, to be more specific, if a person is to sin against the commandments of God, then he is to provide a lamb from his flock as a sacrifice for the atonement of his sins. However, if he can't afford a lamb, obviously there's different, there's people of different socioeconomic statuses. You know, if he can't afford a lamb, then he has to provide two turtle doves or young pigeons. And there's more, and there's more detail I can go to in that. But just to give you the gist, if he couldn't afford a lamb, then he would provide two turtle doves or young pigeons. If he can't afford two turtle doves or young pigeons, then he is to provide a tenth of an ephah, I think that's how it's pronounced, which is 3/5 of a bushel of fine flour for a burnt offering. So if you don't know what that is, that's about 2 liters of flour for a burnt offering. So these sacrifices and offerings were for the atonement of sin. And one thing I want to point out as well through these Levitical chapters is there's always an acknowledgement before the sacrifice is made. There's always an acknowledgement from the people giving the sacrifice of their atonement sins. There's always an acknowledgement of guilt. So the sacrifice is void if there's no acknowledgement of guilt among the people that give the sacrifice. So now that we know the qualifications of a sacrifice, depending on status or possessions, let's discuss a little bit of the ceremony and rituals associated with the animal sacrifices. There are several different nuances to each sacrifice that I won't get into for the sake of time, but in just about every instance of the sacrifice, the person would provide the sacrifice at the temple and kill the sacrifice there. So the person that offers the sacrifice is actually killing the sacrifice. The priest would then sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice in different places, depending on the sin and the status of the sinner. But most notably, he would pour or sprinkle it on the horns of the altar for the forgiveness of the person that was providing the sacrifice. The fat of the animal would then be offered as a burnt offering because it was a sweet savor to the Lord. Leviticus 4 verse 31 says that. And if we backtrack back to Noah, we can also see how it was a sweet savor to the Lord when Noah offered his big sacrifice. So we can kind of see the shedding of blood was essential for the forgiveness of sins for the Israelites. And, you know, in several cases, they would do more than just sprinkle the horns of the altar. In some instances, they would actually pour blood at the base of the altar and cover the altar almost entirely. This blood was viewed as extremely powerful. As you can believe, if you believe this blood is the atonement for your sins, it should be held in high esteem. This is why in Leviticus chapter 17, specifically verses 10 through 16. God tells the Israelites not to eat the blood of their animals for sacrifice because the blood of their animals was sacred and necessary for the atoning of their sins. Many times, blood is equivalent to life. They equated blood with life of the animal. So Christianity is a bloody religion, and blood is necessary for the atonement of sins for the Israelites. And they even had a Day of Atonement, which I'm sure many people have heard about. This is in Leviticus chapter 16, but every year, sacrifices were made for the iniquities and sins of all of Israel. So this is an annual day of sacrifice where the sins of all of Israel are atoned for. This was practiced for many years following, these decrees in Leviticus. And I can go into much more detail on animal sacrifice of the Old Testament, but I wanted to give a quick summary of some of the first examples of animal sacrifice, kind of show you the implementation of sacrifices in the Old Testament temple with Leviticus, to show that there was a necessity of a sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins. I want to remind, too, that these sacrifices were accompanied with the recognition of guilt from the sinner. Like I said, just providing the lamb or just giving the lamb did not automatically atone for sins. There had to be guilt from the person who was giving the sacrifice. So it wasn't just like here, I'm giving you this animal so that my sins are forgiven. It's like, man, there's such strong conviction in me that I need to sacrifice this animal to atone for these things that I've done. There's a lot that correlates with that and with Christ, as we'll see in the next episode. Also, keep in mind that these rules and necessities were strictly for the Israelites. So what about us Gentiles? Do we need a sacrifice for our sins? And the answer is yes, but we'll discuss that more on the next episode. So I hope you continue listening. Like I said, I think this is going to be a pretty interesting podcast series. And the goal is to learn more about Christ and to dive deep into his sacrifice for us and to embrace it and acknowledge him for what all he has done for us to hopefully show people that, the prophecies that he accomplished and how he was the living sacrifice for us and about how he's blessed us with everything that he's done. So, like I said, hope you continue listening. We'll talk about Jesus and his sacrifice in the next episode. Thank you. I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. But Jesus.